And, of course, you're listening to Colin Andrews as we talk, incredibly so, about crop formations. And we'll be back with more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Colin, do you think some of these messages from these formations might be messages of enlightenment, knowledge, or are they trying to point us out to some kind of impending doom?
My view is that if you kind of take a broad perspective and looking at very specific information that's come in, we can talk about, you know, very specific information in particular crop designs.
Okay.
And then you kind of look at it, things like, well, maybe I should just start here because it to build the picture, one looks at a design that appeared in England in the early 90s, which was a scaled replica of the solar system. This design, I threw as much as I could at it. I certainly spent a lot of time over there in England in this design with the aerial information and ground information and passing that to Dr. John Albrin, Professor Gerald Hawkins, then head of astronomy at University of Boston, Professor Robert Hadley, University of Connecticut, and they kind of looked at this design and looked at the numbers and the ratios, and there was no question what it was. This was a replica of our own solar system, a very accurate one, and it gave us a date. And this date in September 2033 meant absolutely nothing to us other than it was a date when the next alignment that was in the field would actually take place in our solar system from a particular place, of course. You know, you're looking at this in a multidimensional aspect, whereas we were looking at 2D in the field. And that only later became significant when my wife and I were asked to write the Complete Idiot's Guide to 2012. And in that research, we came across the same date. And it was very interesting that not only did the other information that we were getting across a whole broad spectrum of inputs looking as if we were heading towards a kind of a temporary period of chaos and a transitional period, and I'll get to the reasoning for that, around the 2012 period, but there was a new cycle which the Mayan called the first Khotun. There is a Khotun period into the Golden Age. It was beyond 2012, and that ends in September 2033. And so what did this design tell us? Well, the planet Earth in that solar system in the crops field was missing. And so that, of course, posed two questions. What does it mean that we're going not to be here? Or is it that the information that's being conveyed is to us, we're being singled out to inform us that it is us that the conversation is taking place with? And so the solar system meant something. The date now means something. We had, some of your listeners will remember this. It's been forgotten by many, but in 1977, a very strange metallic voice broke in on British television. And again, it's what's happened to me throughout my life, it seems, George. I had purchased on this day, at this moment in time, a brand new, my very first tape recorder. It was a huge, great thing.
Ah, okay.
And down on the floor, I had it turned on. I put the microphone across the floor, and I was testing it when I heard in the background the newscaster, ITN, Independent Television Network, giving the news. And suddenly, I became aware, and I was recording this, and I became aware that his voice was breaking up, and so was the picture. And it eventually just went into kind of like hash browns. It was just disappeared. And over the top came this metallic voice, very strange. The recording is on the new DVD that I've got here, Conscious Circles. And that recording is on there. It was heard by millions of people, but from only two transmitters. And the two transmitters concerned transmitted this information into the most prolific area of crop circles that had just begun in that same area. 1 year before. 1976 was the first crop circle in this particular area where I lived. And so, you know, there were two things. What did the voice say? And it spoke also of this period that we're coming into, and the full details, to say, is on the DVD, and what people can hear it for themselves. So there was information. And that information tied in with the crop circle design of the solar system, which was in the same area. Mm-hmm. Then we had, in 2002, a crop design with an ET. Many people know this.
Oh, I remember design. That one. That was incredible. Yeah,
they're absolutely incredible. With a disk. Now, that disk conveyed ASCII code, computer code, which was deciphered by my good friend, now deceased, Paul Vige, who suddenly passed away in the middle of this research. His body was discovered washed up in the English, off the edge of the English Channel, to be specific. But Paul deciphered that, and it was the same information. And very consistently, that we were heading into a period where we must pull from the minds of the political people in particular truth, that we must find who we are, and that was the general message. And so as the crop designs have evolved themselves, and they've given us family types, astronomical, mathematical, they too do point towards a period of chaos and a transitional period. And so wherever you look at this, whether you're looking at even the 2012 Mayan prophecy, which does, it links itself naturally to this, because, you know, I know there are a lot of people that don't believe that it says this or it says that. We've got at least two interpretations from people that have spent years looking at these calendars. Mm-hmm. And October is one particular date, which is now passed, of an end cycle.
Right.
We 21 December, 2012 is generally considered to be the end date of the master cycle, 26,000 years, heading into the first quarter of the Golden Age. Well, the prophecy itself talks, of course, about all these things. And it talks about climate change. We have broken that down ourselves, with a subheading of global warming, which is because the scientists tend to believe, I know, again, there are different views on this, that the climate change is going to settle out on the warm side and that we're moving into a warming period. It's another, we can debate it. But in this 2012 prophecy, we're also looking, and I'm going through categories that all point us in the same direction, the solar cycle 24. Well, we're in it. It's come from an exceptional low. It's beginning now to ratchet up, and that too is anticipated to be part of this equation next year. We're 3 weeks away from 2012. Population explosion. This is talked of. Well, we're past 7 billion people. We're looking, if you look at the health chart for planet Earth and humanity on planet Earth, these are very important factors. If you look at the economy and the economic collapse, these are decouplings of a system. I mean, today as we speak, George, we're looking at the U.S., and the U.S. is not alone in this, but the U.S. national gross debt is $15 trillion, $55 billion. I'm reading it off the clock. $15 million, and you can keep the change. I mean, this equates to 313 million people sharing that debt at $48,000 per person. Yep. In the United States. The UK just yesterday vetoed the latest deal for the euro, which now has isolated Great Britain, and whatever that means is coming. And all of these things play into, political and religious social tension. This is referred to in the prophecy too. The earth changes. I mean, just before I move from that political, religious, and social tension, we've all observed what's happened in simply the last 12 months. The Arab Spring, the Occupy movement. These were inevitable developments in a suppressed and badly treated society, where the political end...
Long overdue, too, wasn't it?
long, long overdue. We know what happened media-wise. It's a whole other conversation. I know you've had it on the show. Denied initially that they were even down there in New York. Just ignore them, they'll go away. Well, no, they haven't gone away, but they're hippies from the 60s, you know. Well, no, they're actually not. They're office workers. They're people from the store down the street here. They're normal people. I was one of them for a while in New Haven, in my local Connecticut movement. There's something going on here, and this will not go away. This is all part of the tension that is bringing us to the end of a pretty actually despicable cycle. The next one must be better, because now we have got to create a better environment, a more honest environment, in which we restructure. This is the decoupling that's going on. It's not all bad, because, you know, we have to find a place. We're at zero point and recouple with new minds, new honesty, and that must be shared by all. You know, I say that no government, no organization has the right to dictate the development of human consciousness, which they do if they're not giving us the truth. And it is the truth that will take us to that better place. And, you know, broadly speaking, George, I think that that basically, if there is a message here, across that multiplex of inputs, I think it's important to keep them together, because they're all steering in the same direction. It is what they are saying, and it's what we know in our hearts. We simply cannot seem to break the mold that we have. I mean, I know I've said a lot there, but here's a real difficult position, and it is this. This is one of the dilemmas we have on this planet today. Governments are machines. They're made up of people, but they're machines. And when you have a machine, which is a war machine, whether it's for national security, the longevity of your people, these are all in their own right reasonable things. You know, but how do you inject love and compassion into a war machine? You know, I won't go into that, some government people just a short while ago, Dennis Kucinich, one, yeah. Yes, he was with us. And, it is right, he has this view, and I share it, that the first thing we have to do is we have got to enforce, not encourage, enforce. The governments work for us. They are there to represent us. And there is not one on this planet, as we speak tonight, George, that has a Department of Peace. Not one. And we have war departments, we have defense departments, and all the rest, and that whole industrial, military complex that's driving this, where the 1% are driving the planet to a standstill, and everybody on it, there's not one that is geared to peace. And that is what we have to demand begins very soon.
I think you're right.
You know, I mean, it's kind of, in the environment in which we're in, it's almost a joke. But that's where we're going, and they're going to be forced there.
Well, maybe these messages are basically, get your act together, Earthlings, or you will have all kinds of problems.
Yeah, I would go with that. That's another take on exactly what it is saying. That is what it's saying. You know, when it comes to consciousness, there's another way of because we're broadly speaking about developing, developing who we are, evolving into better people from the past. There's a new study, and it's very interesting. I'm going to be posting more of this on the website in the next few days. From a Professor Marcus Pembrey, Institute of Child Health in UCL, working with a professor, I've got it just here, Wolf Rake. I don't know these people personally. I certainly would like to. From an institute in Cambridge, England. And they have discovered something really quite remarkable that's going to change a lot of things. And they were looking at emotional stress factors in children. This is where it came from. They have now, this is a long study, and it's just proven that, I'll give myself as an example, everybody listening this applies to, that we have these gene sets that are very specific to illnesses. You know, this particular gene set will create, cause illness and cause another illness, So we're looking at the DNA strand. Now, these gene sets are turned on or off by our parents. Now, in other words, to the, our health today, our well-being, who we are today, is being affected by somebody else's experience. And it is the your father's experience just before puberty. It's your mother's experience just before birth, when she's in the womb of her mother. Now, if those parents, when those parents have particular emotional experiences, and they were looking specifically at the stress hormones, so and something, we'll say 9/11 happens, and the stress effect, the hormonal response in that person, in your father or your mother, at that in that particular time, even in the womb of her mother, that triggers, has a memory which causes the genetic, that a particular genetic set to be turned on or off, whether it's mum's influence or dad's influence, depending upon their experience, in you today. And so we've got here for the first time the partial picture of an experience we're having, who we are, our physical wellness, mm-hmm. and our emotional state, who we are today, is a record of our parents' experiences. But it goes further, that once that gene is turned on or off in me, my subset as a result of an experience my father had as just before puberty or my mother in the womb, that now is passed on to my child, in my case is my daughter, and to her children. And so evolving consciousness can be seen here, that the emotional experience of somebody else is recorded and manifests by genetic coding in me. So I am part of my parents' experience, but I am part of a collective series of experiences. So this is evolving information from one generation to another. And so when we're looking at, in we've just been talking about the prophecy and the future, when we're looking for a coherence, and that's the word, a coherence of love and respect in the future, we're looking to be affecting future generations. So we have to have that emotional experience, which is across the board within our society. And we don't have it right now. There's not enough of that emotional quality in our society. And when it is there and we experience it, we will be turning on subsets of genes to future generations. I mean, it is evolving consciousness that we're looking at, and we've got to get to work on this, George.
Well,
we're nowhere near.
Is it possible that these formations are created by us in a in a conscious way?
Absolutely, and you're right on the ball with that. This is one that I ponder it all the time. Because we're a part of the process, and there is proof in this, I can give you another example if we have time in this segment. Do we have time now to go?
We've only got about a minute before the break, so let's save that.
I would just say in this minute is that there is ample evidence that we are certainly part of the process, and this is why we should not have been, as I have been, bad-mouthing, you might say, people that are making circles, some of them, because they're giving us information as a result of the experiences they've had, which has reinforced what we already knew and is giving us a better, broader picture that even they are at the hands of somebody else's plan.
We'll get more of your examples, Colin, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Colin Andrews, but there's much more to talk with him about when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Colin Andrews. Colin, we were talking about consciousness and what might be the message behind some of this. You had some more different analogies here.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a couple of examples, George, of where events have occurred that have been received or picked up, you might say, by other individuals who then act upon it. And, you know, you were saying, well, are we making them? Well, certainly we know that we are making some and that they are prompted by other people's thoughts. I wanted to give you a very specific example of that. This is an event that took place on the 30th of July, 1999, close to Avebury, in southern England, in Wiltshire. Now, this was a group of, I believe, about 10 or 11 women who had decided to do a meditation. There was really nothing particularly planned other than that. That's what they intended to do. They didn't even know exactly where they would do it. But they headed out in a couple of vehicles towards Avebury and saw a location that they felt right. And they parked up. They went off into this field near some trees, a little bit of shelter, and they did a meditation. And during this meditation, they decided upon, prompted by those pictures they were getting in their heads, individuals, images they were getting of a particular design, which was a very simple kind of flower of life design. And they meditated on that, and they put out the thought, much as it happened to me, actually, in 88, you might say a request for it to manifest. And so that was it. They focused upon it. That was it. Well, at just after 10 o'clock, just 10:15 or so, Matthew Williams is known. I believe you've spoken of him on the program before. This is a gentleman who has made circles and has been disliked as a result of some of all of that. But actually, Matthew has been very helpful to me personally in unraveling part of this. And what happened was that he was watching television, and he said, out of just kind of like nowhere, just like somebody threw a switch inside his head, he got this urge, that was his word, I've heard it many times since, to go out and make a crop circle. So, and he was alone, he lives alone, did then, and he got in his car, he got his board and his line and the things that he do, and with them, you know, designed how he would, worked out how he would make this design alone, and he headed off, followed his nose, basically, turned right up the avenue in towards Avebury and looked to his right, thought, well, that feels about right, headed into the field and heard some voices. And, of course, we now know who those voices were. He didn't make any contact with the people. He couldn't see them. He could just hear them. They were not aware of his presence. We now know this, too. And he stopped and felt that this was probably not anything he was now going to be able to do because he was close to a group of people. But he decided, he said he kind of cloaked himself. He did a meditation. He did his own little kind of process. And he decided, yes, he would do it. And in he went. The temperature dropped. It became very cold. We've learned something about that also in other work that we've done, this sudden temperature drop. And some fog formed in the field. He made this design and headed out. And later, days later, he tried to track down via farmers and other inquiries who these people were in the fields. He eventually came to the leader of that group and said, you know, asked, were you in the field, that particular field that night? They said, well, yes, yes, we were. And they said to him, this woman said to him, but let us tell you something. We were meditating on this flower of life design, and it appeared. He said, yes, and I made it. Well, that was a complete closed loop on clues that we had over a number of years on where this was appeared to be heading. It is not at all so far away from the thought process you were having just then in saying, well, do we make them? What is happening here, I think, George, is that we're looking at development of the sixth sense. We're looking at taking more seriously intuition and developing it. And these events that are occurring, thanks to the crop circle enigma, have kind of attracted us to that possibility and now to the development of that per se. So this has actually happened. What I've just told you is conveyed and has been checked out. And I had the aerial photographs the very next day from the air. But itself, you see, is not so different to something you only have my personal word for. And that is I was going through a troubled marriage in England before I moved to the United States. And in 1988, I laid on the bed in my home in Andover, Hampshire, and alone. And I concentrated. I kind of was having a conversation with myself, basically, in my head. And I reached a point where I focused upon a design that had never been seen before in the crop fields that I was aware of. This is a Celtic cross, traditional Celtic cross. And I prayed. I prefer to say meditated, but, whichever. Whether you're praying to God or you're meditating, is a process that comes from deep inside, from a sincere part of you that only you know. And I ask for this design to appear as close to my home as possible. Hmm. I know, I'm well aware that I've said this for years because it shook me, that everybody's only got my word for this. But I was still in bed. The next morning, I had a phone call from Jeff Smith. He may be listening to the program. Yeah. He's certainly able to come back to you on this if I'm telling you anything other than the absolute truth. He phoned me. Documentaries have been made of this, so it's all fully checked out. And he said, Colin, you were in a circle with two rings a few days ago. We're harvesting that field, and there's something else there. Well, what is it, Jeff? Well, it looks like, and as he describes it, oh my God, that's a Celtic cross he's talking about. Well, he gave me 2 hours to get there, which we did in the aircraft over the top with Busty Taylor. Looking down, a lump came to my throat. It was exactly what had been in my head that night. But what we didn't know, George, I didn't think to check it out at the time. I was emotionally touched by what had happened because, remember, we had already had a series of these apparent kind of bizarre occurrences where it seemed like something knew our minds or was listening to our conversations. And here now I'm looking at what I had asked for that night in the field. But what I did not realize at that time was that the field boundary, the edge of this Celtic cross came to within probably 50 or 60 feet of the boundary of the field, the wheat field, which was the very closest field to my home in which anything could have manifested. In other words, the other fields had been harvested, or there were no cereal crops, there were cattle. And so there were two parts of my request, my prayer, you might say, my meditation, was this design as close to my home as possible. And that was in complete compliance with that request, was both factors.
It's like you willed it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is like I willed it. And, I'm even prepared at this point in our work, this is 30 years down the road, I'm still prepared to accept that it is possible that somebody made it. But if they did, now remember, this is Doug Bowers and Dave Chorley were about the only two people out there at that time who were making such claims. In fact, they hadn't at that time. But it is possible, it is conceivable that they did. But as Matthew Williams had the urge to go and make the Celtic cross that the women were meditating on, could they or somebody else have complied? You might say complied. That might be the wrong way of looking at it, but certainly acted upon my thought process. So does this mean that we have two groups in humanity, you might say, do you have your Republicans and your Democrats in society, two points of view? I mean, that it doesn't matter what material you might talk about with regard to the Bush era, for example. One group will see that same information one way, others will see it another. As it happens, I thought there was a terrible administration, but others would totally disagree based upon exactly the same information. Could it be that we are not able currently to resolve many of our issues because we're genetically biased to oppose one another? I don't know. It's kind of on the edge of the actual work that I'm doing. I'm trying to see where this crop circle enigma, stroke UFO, stroke other intelligence, dovetails into consciousness of humanity. And that's my particular work. But it does raise many, many questions, and I think reasonable ones.
Are we getting more crop formations than we did 10, 20 years ago?
We're more that we're aware of, George. That would be the way to answer it. It could be that it's been pretty well like this for quite some time, that we didn't have the system. People didn't know who to report them to. You know, when I did the first top television documentaries back in the 80s, one of them being Unsolved Mysteries, transmitted in the United States, we had very few reports from the U.S. in the database in Great Britain until that was transmitted. The first programs on Unsolved Mysteries were transmitted across the United States, and then suddenly the phone never stopped. It just streamed in from the people that put that documentary together, a Cosgrove Mirror. And we were getting reports from all over, you know, from Ohio in particular, New York State, a couple here in Connecticut, but most states have had them. In relatively, compared to Great Britain or Southern England, smaller numbers. But the point is that there are out there, and there are many out there that we're not aware of. People don't want to get involved and report them. But I think the general view of it in having this enormous database here is that, yes, there is an increase. There has been an increase. It peaked in around about 1991 on the numbers that we had, and that was over 1,000 reports, 1,000, not reports, 1,000 individual sites where circles had been discovered in 1991. They were coming in at the rate of around 15 in a single day at the peak of this. Now, that has diminished. So we had a real kind of peak. It dropped off to around about 200 reports a year, most of those, 80, 90% in Great Britain, another larger cell of activity in Germany, in the Netherlands. Those were the hottest spots, as it were. But now we're kind of leveled off. I think last year was a reduction, the first downturn, but in two ways, not only in the total numbers that were reported, but if I can say it this way, the quality of what we had. So without doing a Rockefeller kind of intensive investigation into specifically into people making crop circles, which of course we cannot do every year, that was a two-year project. You can only project what we found into other years, but without doing that on, for example, this year's information, I think I said last year, but I meant this year, were smaller numbers, lower quality, that might translate to, when I'm saying lower quality, into more man-made. So my view, I have been out there again, I've not ever not been on site, I've been less public for the last 10 years, looking at the data and trying to make some sense of it all. There's never a day that I'm not working on it. But I did go to England, and what I saw was a large number of human-made crop circles, but as much as ever, activity involving people in this process. My general feeling is that we're coming towards the end of an era here, and that traverses all subjects, it traverses all religions and all political thinking. We are truly, I absolutely have spent so much time on the Mayan prophecy. I think these guys were absolutely masters at their business of astronomy and astrology.
Yep,
they absolutely were, you know, they combined the two, and they logged human behavior cyclically with events in the sky. And what they came up with was astounding, that there would be this end period, as we have spoken about, and that too speaks exactly And it aligns exactly with the crop circle phenomenon, what we've learned from it, where we're going, what's happening in our world. And I don't think any of that is by coincidence.
Are any of the messages getting a little more panic-stricken or more serious in terms of warnings?
Well, some of them. If you look at a message in a particular crop design, you could say, yes, there are those that are panicked. But then, you know, you're always kind of in this conundrum of, well, is it man-made? And is it, what is the intention of the person that made it? Is it on a whim? Is there hostile intent? Is it there to deceive us and to confuse us? Is it made with, is it made with those intentions, or is this design, which has a bad message, been intuitively perceived and acted out? So these are kind of important points to make. But yes, some suggest that there is an astronomical event a close at hand. Others certainly refer to a chaotic period. The fractals and the mathematical equations give us that. And I went through a list, you know, earlier of the voice on the television set, etc., that very specifically speak to that. But I tend to generalize, and I think it's very difficult not to, because it's so easy to be led down the wrong path with this. If I were to give you an answer related to one particular design and to be absolutely wrong in my assessment because this was inserted by people with bad intentions, I would have not done any of the listeners any good, or you or I either. So I tend to look at across the spectrum of information and try and take a mean, you might say, value through the center. And when I'm doing this, I'm still saying the same message there, because some talk about talk to a better understanding of realigning our thinking. We're back to what we were saying earlier, that we've really got to our platform has got to be respect, trust, love. All sounds very new agey. We went through this with beads around our necks and perhaps smoking pot some years back. But again, you see, that was part of a process, moving, developing, evolving. And here we are now at the what I personally agree with is 1% of our population pretty well having really screwed up the rest. And we're into a galactic scale breakdown in an unraveling, which is still going to get, I fear, a little worse before it's going to get any better. You know, and I don't think this is going off at a tangent, George, that the Mayan themselves valued astrology as much as they did astronomy. And I personally asked a former FBI counterterrorist agent who happens to be a highly skilled astrologer. It's a strange combination. He's on my website, the full information with this. And I've spent a lot of time with him. He has looked, but let me just say this. When he first read the book, 2012, Complete Idiot's Guide to 2012, he was on the phone to me and my wife, who both wrote the book together.
Hold on for one second, Colin. We're at the top already. We'll come back for that story, and we'll take phone calls next hour right here on Coast to Coast AM.